May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, asking him again and again, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to himself and stood in their midst and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted," and he's speaking to his disciples, so he's not talking about getting saved, "unless your mind is changed, and you become like a little child, you shall not explore the kingdom of heaven. But whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who are believing in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck than be drowned in the depth of the sea." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You can be seated. Now remember the passage I just read to you about becoming like a little child if you're going to explore the kingdom. Now I'm going to read this verse to you, these verses. And they may seem disconnected, but they actually fit together. "Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory." It's interesting that Jesus, when they asked Jesus the question again, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, or who is the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus didn't rebuke them for asking that question because it seemed like a prideful question. As a matter of fact, he says, whoever humbles themselves and becomes like this little child, they'll be the greatest in the kingdom. He said there is a path to spiritual greatness before God. Again, not necessarily great before people, but spiritual stewarding, spiritual greatness. And he says it's the humility of a little child. Greatness and humility seem to contradict each other, but as you humble yourself and become like this little child. The thing about a little child, their faith, there's such humility about it because they just will believe anything. And the thing about a little child's faith, and the word there is not child, it's little child. A little child's faith is their faith is just chocked full of imagination. And all of us remember as kids imagining we were something that we weren't and pretending and all that kind of stuff. Little children little children haven't graduated to the place, haven't matured enough to realize enchanting things aren't true. They really do believe in enchantment. They really do believe in things that they can't see can be real. And sometimes they're unreal things or fantasy things. But imagination is an important part of the faith of a little child. And that's one of the things that Jesus is saying to us, is that you're going to have the faith like a little child. You're going to have to be able to imagine. Now, every one of you, don't be afraid of that word, because every one of you use your imagination every day. If your name is Kelly or TC, you sit around and imagine all the time. Where did you leave your keys? That's imagination. And the real literal meaning of imagination isn't necessarily about fantasy. The word really means to image that which is real but unseen. Now, the problem with us adults who've gotten so mature is that we've been disappointed enough by other fallen people that we've become cynical to the point where we don't believe in happy endings anymore. But little children believe in happy endings. Life in Christ and the kingdom of God is all about happy endings. The kingdom of God is all about enchanted things that are real, though they're not yet seen in the natural. But they're real. And here's the cool thing about me and you, is that we've been positioned in Christ to discover all the things with the heart of a little child. But the reality is, if you in Christ have been seated in the heavenly places, if you're afraid to become like a little child because you don't want to get disappointed again, then you'll never be able to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. They're not far from you. He says, since then you've been raised up. You've been seated in heaven. And so seeking the things of heaven is not like this stretch for you. It's just about opening the eyes of faith. using your imagination to see what's real but not yet seen in the natural. Because it's when we exercise faith full of imagination that that which is real but not yet seen becomes seen in our experience. That's just the way it works. It becomes the conduit. It becomes the fiat for the things that are real in heaven to be manifested on things in the things of the earth. So we use that verse a gazillion times in the last few years from Jesus. Again, that's why he said this. If you receive one of these little children, it's like receiving me, because he was the most childlike adult that ever lived. Because he always was bearing witness of what he saw and heard from heaven's perspective. While his feet were squarely on earth, his faith was able, because there was imagination, could see into the unseen realm. He was, though feet on the earth, was also living in the heavenly places, and that's what we're called to do. Nothing breaks my heart more than to see an adult become so rational and so afraid and so full of self-protection because they don't want to get hurt again or don't want something to disappoint them again that they're afraid to be like a little child. It's about being in control. And one of the things about a little child, they know they're not in control of anything. Therefore, they can just go for it. You know what? Neither are you. You may think you are, but you're not. There's someone bigger than you ordering your steps. There's someone bigger than you who says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place. And then you'll see this throne seated in heaven. You'll remember who's really in control. You really think you can control? No. That's why little children don't have a problem believing for the supernatural. That's why I'm so passionate about our children's church and children's ministry be stewarding in their lives, moving in the supernatural. That's Christ-like. They have a hard time sitting down listening to me do a seminar on holiness. But the other part's easy. We as adults think that's the hardest part. Moving in the supernatural is the hardest part. It's actually the easiest part of all. You don't have to get... you just have to use your imagination. Albert Einstein, considered one of the most brilliant minds in history, said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Here's a lost man who knew more than a lot of Christians know. But now his concept of that was because any time there's an invention, it always starts with imagination. You have to imagine what you can't see yet, but you know it's real. And then invention comes from that. But here's the cool thing. You don't have to become like Albert Einstein to move in the things of the Spirit. You just have to become like a little child. Remember the word God gave us a few months ago? The deeper you go, the simpler it gets. But you gotta risk. You gotta go for it. Little children have an amazing way. If things don't go right, just, okay, dust off your feet and go back for it and remember and start imagining for the ridiculous again. If God's gonna use us to advance the kingdom of God, you and I has to start reimagining the world through the eyes of Christ. That's really what prayer is. Reimagining the world from heaven's perspective. And that shouldn't be hard for you because that's where you're seated. I believe that God has spoken some things to us, a lot of other people, we're just part of a little thing that, about I don't want to just talk about Christ-likeness and Christ, the fullness of Christ anymore. I don't want to just get excited about, oh, what a great word, what a cool word. I want us to manifest it. And maybe John Wimber was right. John Wimber was a gifted teacher, but he's taught people how to move in the things of the Spirit, how to use their holy imagination, their faith, be like a little child. That's what they did. That's how they reached the community. They would send kids out. Most of his church was made up of people in the early days, 2,000 people, and the average age was 19 years old. And they went out into the communities, would just knock on the door and go, hey, we're from so-and-so, and we're Christians, and we believe that Jesus still heals today. Is there anybody in your household that needs to be prayed for? And gazillion people got healed and set free. But one time somebody came to him and says, John, we want more of the meat of the word. Now, only an American would say that, or Western European. Nobody from Meto would say that. We want more of the meat of the word. Somebody in Rentobo, Uganda wouldn't say that. We want the meat of the word. We just want the meat, John. And he would say to them, my brother or my sister, the meat is in the street. We're called to be doers of the word, not just hearers. If you're going to be a doer of the word, and it's a supernatural thing we're called to be doing, it's going to require holy imagination as part of your faith. I was thinking this morning, like, there's people here, people that I know, that I'm part of believing for them is imagining them whole. And then bearing witness of what I see and hear. I know that Craig's going to be healed. I believe that Kelly, the manifestation of his healing. You say, well, what happens if they don't get healed? Then I'll dust off my feet and go believe for the next person. I'm not going anywhere. God's not on trial. I don't put him to the test, but he does put my faith to the test. And I want to pass the test. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.